Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Shit 90 Shows Taught Me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Do you not want to wait? Neither do we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I'm really great. Really, really, really great because it is almost summer break and I'm going to California. And also I just got stolen by my boss in the car in her Porsche. That's rented, by the way. Not even her actual Porsche. It's rented.
I'm so excited to talk about this episode because it's like the most like, what are we doing here?
I don't know, but I'll tell you where we're going. We're going to the Five and Dime. To find her dad.
Am I stupid? Did I miss why this episode is called The Abbey?
No clue. There's no Abby Morgan.
Thank God. I was like, am I stupid as fuck? Why is this episode called The Abbey? They really were like, listen, we know you miss Abby Morgan. We're going to name this episode The Abbey for no fucking reason, so just to make you watch it.
A little bit of hope.
Yeah, a little bit of hope going into an episode that is like supreme trash, let's be honest.
So when I think of Abby, I think of Abby Morgan, of course. Mm-hmm. But I also think of like Westminster Abbey or I don't know, other Abbey type buildings. And I didn't even see any of those.
Well, plus, is this, how is it spelled in this one?
A-B-B-Y.
Okay, so it's the name, yeah.
Abby Morgan.
So then I really don't understand what we're doing here.
I don't know. Maybe we're just like thinking too big picture. What's the meaning of Abby? Father's joy.
That's what it means.
Interesting.
I think you stumbled onto something.
Okay. So yeah, because this is kind of about, we see Dawson going to the cemetery and talking about what he's up to. And it really would make his son happy or his father happy to hear that he's doing all of these great things. Also, Joey is kind of like the joy in Mr. Pot dot 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 er's
dot 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 dot.
Also, we get a little bit of like daddy mommy stuff with Jen. Mm-hmm. So could it, now once again, we give a lot of credit to Dawson's Creek.
Probably too much.
Why we probably shouldn't. Yeah. But is it possible that this is an episode about fatherly expectations and reality.
You know, then make it more obvious to the viewer, I think. Don't code it in this bullshit. Yeah, all boobs, no brains. Remember, that's the freaking mantra.
I do remember that was our thing. And besides that, I really don't know what else this could be about, because I do think that Westminster Abbey is with an E. So I don't know.
Well, that's why I was asking about the spelling, because I was like, could it be something to do with that? But
no, I mean, but once again, I shouldn't be an archaeologist to figure out this shit, you know?
Yeah. Remember the detective babysitters? Are they going to have to come out of retirement in order to solve this mystery? Who knows?
We do. But also, I'm pretty sure that the detective babysitters was a Boy Meets World callback.
Oh, was it? I apologize for anyone who was like, well, who the fuck are the detective babysitters? My brain is just like mush. So I don't even know what I said on what day on what podcast.
Well, also, I mean, Boy Meets World was like so 2022.
So 2022.
We're so ahead of that now by still covering Dawson's Creek season 5 like we have for the past like 6 months.
The penultimate episode of season 5.
Penultimate.
How are you feeling now that we have one more episode after this?
Well, it makes me realize that I really need to work on my on the draft. Because once again, somebody hasn't been keeping track of the draft points the entire season.
Yeah, leaving yourself a lot of work for the end of the season.
Oh, well. I mean, I rewatched the whole season anyway as a refresher and kind of to get an idea of what episodes I liked, what episodes I didn't like. Yeah. So
the problem is that, like, with these, this like a 23 episode season, we literally started this season in September.
Like, it's been a while.
Like, it has snowed many a time since we started season.
It really hasn't snowed.
Okay, not
actually.
In Jersey, maybe, but you know,
it snowed 1.5 times in Jersey.
1.5 times.
1.5.
Yeah. So let's discuss this season 5 episode 22, The Abbey, the penultimate episode, where we start things off with Audrey getting supremely doused with water guns, which I'm like, how is this not outlawed in the dorms?
I don't know, but you know what? This type of shit actually did happen, because there was this whole thing when I was in school where kids would throw ice at doors and it would really piss me off.
Hold on a minute.
Yeah.
Throw ice at doors.
Ice at doors, yeah.
Why would they throw?
It's a prank, because, I mean, like...
Like ice cubes? Where are they getting the ice?
From ice trays? I don't know.
How is this a prank? What a stupid prank. It, like, doesn't even do anything. You're just throwing ice at doors to make loud noises?
I think so. I don't remember.
This is the dumbest prank I've ever heard. Like, it's
yeah, I know.
Sense.
I know. But this was the type of shit that happened. We didn't have water guns, but we definitely had ice. I didn't throw ice, though. Oh, remember stink bombs?
No.
You don't remember stink bombs?
I mean, like, what do you mean remember? I don't have any memories of ever dealing with stink bombs.
In freshman year of college, there was a stink bomb epidemic.
What were people doing with them?
They were releasing them in the halls for a prank.
That's disgusting.
I know. They were very
stinky. That's not
a cute
prank. That's not a fun prank. That's a stanky ass prank.
I know. But the worst thing about living in dorms was that whenever somebody made popcorn, no matter what, it always burned. And then the fire alarm would go off. And then it always happened at like 2 a.m. And you would have to like get up and go outside at 2 a.m. in your pajamas over a freaking popcorn bag.
How do people not? Isn't there a popcorn button?
No, but that's the thing. You press the popcorn button and then it burns every single time.
No, my microwave is really good with the popcorn button.
No, but also, guess what? People will buy the mini bags, like the little 100.
Well, then, yeah, that's going to be a lot less
time. And then they
press
the popcorn button.
Well, they're idiots. I think.
But this is the type of thing, like, you never dormed. Like, you don't understand the dorm life.
No, I don't understand the dorm life.
You don't understand the dorm life. I mean, the popcorn button was our biggest ops in the dorm. Don't press the popcorn button.
No popcorn buttons. So Audrey runs into her room where Joey is packing. Joey, I have to point out, has her vacation hair don't care look. She has her wavy hair, which is vacation Joey, which is fun time Joey.
Exactly, because it's almost summer vacation. So what are you going to do? You're going to get the hair to be wavy and messy. You forget your comb on vacation.
Yeah. And Joey is getting a ride from Dawson back to Keepside, so she has to pack. Audrey is going to go to L.A., but she's, like, begging Joey to come to L.A. with her. She doesn't want to be, like, all alone. And so then she says, well, what if I come to Keepside with you just for a couple days? Like, I've heard all about this place. So Joey says, all right, as long as you're packed on time. And Audrey is very excited. And I love this. This makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I'm really excited for Audrey to spend a couple of days in Capeside. That really excited me. What does not excite me is that Audrey's side of the bedroom is completely not touched in terms of packing.
Oh, yeah. She's not even tried.
No. Guess what? You've never had this dream before, but last night I had a dream about packing up my dorm room for college.
Oh my gosh. Do you think it was because of this episode?
I think so, because I think I like fell asleep to this episode last night while I was rewatching it. So yeah, I had a dream that I was packing for college, and I had like all the stuff that I didn't want to take with me. And I had you know how there's those mesh file organizers?
Yes.
I was just trying to pawn that shit off in my dream. Just trying to give it away. I didn't want it anymore.
Yeah, Audrey's going to have a lot of packing to do. But they're like, oh my gosh, there's someone at the door. We have to douse them with water balloons because it's obviously those guys that had water guns. And obviously someone gets doused with water balloons that definitely deserves it. But like, I didn't need to see Professor Wilder again.
Excuse me, Professor Wilder. What are you doing in the dorm rooms? How do you know which one is Joey's dorm? If anything, you should email her and ask her to come by your office. Yes.
Yeah.
Please do not come to the kids' dorm rooms, you disgusting motherfucker.
This is bullshit. This is fucked up. A professor
in a dorm hallway.
Yeah.
How and then get he, access.
I mean, I think they just all had. I mean, you've seen these old ass fucking. This is like an old ass college. They don't have like the sophisticated card key electronic stuff yet.
Right. Oh, terrible. Terrible. Quick question. Pro water balloon. Are you a pro water balloon?
No, because usually what ends up happening is they're like, if you have a water balloon fight when you're a kid, like there's going to be little plastic bits left everywhere, which is like terrible for the environment.
That's true.
They make these like, I don't know if you get these ads on like TikTok and Instagram and stuff, but they have those like reusable water balloon things. Have you gotten ads for those?
No.
I get ads for weird shit. So it's basically like, okay. Picture a sphere, like a normal ball, but then like split it in half and you like fill it with water and you close it and it somehow stays closed. But then when you throw it and it hits something, it opens up. So like they're reusable water balloons. So like that's a fascinating idea. But OK, you're making stink.
Well, 2023 really knows how to ruin a good time.
Well, OK, because Sarah, we've elevated. Right. So when we were kids, it was like. The hardest thing was filling up the water balloon without ripping the tip of it. Of like,
oh, yes, 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 yes.
Then they elevated when we were done being kids. They were like, well, we're going to get the next generation the cool shit where you just put one thing on the sink and it fills up like 50 balloons at the same time.
Of course, yes.
But now I think they're like very, okay, well, what about the environment? So now we need reusable water balloons.
Sure, sure. I just like, you know, like, don't take the fun out of summer, you know?
Okay, but don't ruin the environment at the same time.
I remember back in 2007 when Drew and I first started going out, we had a water balloon fight.
Did you? Who won?
I don't remember that. I just remember
Sarah.
Water balloon fights. Just feeling free,
did
you know?
Did you pick up the little plastic bitties after you were done?
Of course I did. Yeah, I love birds. I don't fucking remember. Do you think I remember every single fucking piece of garbage I picked up off the ground? I don't remember shit. All right. So we're in the apartment dorm room and Professor Wilder is like, hi, I'm a creepy motherfucker and my shirt is all wet. And thank you for handing me all these towels. And Joey's not like, why the heck are you here? Instead, she, I don't know, asks some questions. And guess what? He has a present for Joey. It's a book.
Yeah, so the Worthington Literary Review is out, and turns out Joey's story called The Kiss, which is about her kiss with Dawson, is in there. It was featured in there. And Joey is like super surprised, super grateful, and Wilder, like the creep that he is like, oh, are there any more chapters to that story? And Joey says, oh, he went his way, I went mine, blah 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 blah.
Yeah, remember the whole time where I was going to be with him, but instead you started a romantic relationship with me and then ditched me after I got mugged?
Yeah,
that's what happened to my story about the guy.
Yeah. And so Wilder apparently is going to be writing during the summer. Joey's going back to Cape Side. Wilder's like, oh, can't wait to see you in the fall.
Yeah, like, I'm sure right. Joey already signed up for his, like, 202 class.
I'm sure. Yeah. So they say goodbye. And then we get our next big story of, okay, and this is what makes this episode one of the most just, like, cracked out episodes of the whole series.
Right.
Is civilization. So
civilization. I mean, it really would end without us and Pacey. So apparently one civilization is not enough. We need two civilizations. We have Greece and we need Rome.
Yeah. So this is not enough. They need a second one in Philly. And so Alex has decided tomorrow we're closing the restaurant. We're going to have a luncheon for the investors and it needs to go perfectly because we need to be able to open the second location, and if anything goes wrong, you're gonna be fired.
It's my ass but your job.
What do you think of her original idea for the menu? Fresh goose liver pate.
Guess what, I wouldn't fucking touch that with a 10-foot pole.
It sounds fucking disgusting.
I don't want to eat pate in any form. I don't want to eat raw ground whatever. It's so gross.
And it does feel like Pacey has learned, like, a ton in his short time at
I don't know how. He's absorbed so much information. He can't even memorize the timetables in high school, but apparently he knows how to cook everything and then which special is each of his coworkers' specialty, you know?
He knows it all. And let me walk you through what Pacey's menu is. Menu you is, tell me yeah, I what mean, you like. So we got bluefin tuna.
Sashimi.
What do you think?
I mean, it sounds better than pate, but I'm not like dying. And also, I don't know what kind of restaurant this is, but it's, I don't know if I would trust a non Asian restaurant or Japanese restaurant to make sashimi, but what do I know?
Yeah.
I don't know shit.
Asparagus tip and arugula salad.
Yes, I would eat that.
I would not. I hate asparagus.
Oh, asparagus is so good.
It's fucking gross.
Okay, I would eat that.
A rack of lamb.
Ugh. I really am. I'm not a super, super big lamb person, but actually, So when I went to Iceland, their specialty was lamb, and I had lamb there, and it was good. It was good. So,
I've never eaten lamb.
Yeah. You gotta give it an opportunity. Yeah. You know,
drivered with plum sauce, which sounds delicious.
Drizzled. I would eat that.
Bed of polenta.
I mean, polenta is kind of like what is it? It's like
I'm looking it up
corn.
Right now. It looks
like mushed
mush.
Up a corn cake.
It's boiled cornmeal.
Yeah.
Blech. It looks gross. It looks like vomit. And then finish the night off with a lemon souffle with homemade vanilla ice cream. I would fuck with that.
That one, yeah, I love a lemon, anything lemony, citrus. Yeah, I'm fully on board with this menu. And I would try the sashimi, but I'm just not very high on the sashimi. But it's better than the pate, so.
Definitely. I don't want to live
with
pate.
This sounds like a great meal.
Yeah. And Alex pulls him aside because he's getting very big for his britches. And she says, like, you're testing my limits. I'm going to make your life really unpleasant, and you're going to rue the day that God created woman.
Oh.
It's like, Alex, fucking figure. I also, can I just say, I feel like anytime we get like a nasty wench character like Alex, she always has thin eyebrows and dark hair.
Every single time, they're always a brunette.
And a red lip.
Yeah. And also, her ponytail is pathetic.
Oh my God. I'm so happy you brought this up because I was looking at this ponytail too. First of all, the ponytail is instead of either, it's not a low pony, it's not a high pony. It's a mid pony. She did this like zhuzhing in the back to try to give it body, but it looks messy.
Looks messy.
And the teeniest, tiniest, thinnest scarf you've ever seen in your life is strangling her neck.
That's because she likes it. That's how she likes it in the bedroom.
She likes it toy. Yeah.
Yeah. She does have a beautiful side profile, though.
Okay,
a very delicate nose.
You love a tiny nose.
I do. I mean, I wish. I wish. So, yeah, Alex is on a rampage. Don't fuck this up for me, PC. I will ruin your life.
Yeah.
I will tell everybody you have a small dick and you're not good at making food. I really sizzled out at the end.
You did.
Can you tell I don't do confrontation?
Yeah. You're not a confrontational person.
Really fizzled out. Okay, so we have a important phone call with Dawson's agent.
Yes. This is a big deal because it turns out that Dawson is getting invited. Dawson and Oliver, sorry.
I can't believe Oliver's invited too.
If I'm that guy, the agent guy, I'm like, yeah. Fuck Oliver, leave him behind.
How did he get an invite? I thought that we were ditching him.
I mean, I was hoping we were ditching him.
I thought we were. Go to California.
Yeah. Big opportunities for. It's so funny to me. Dawson is like, okay, we're gonna leave California. Oh, wait. No, we're not ready to go. We got to go back to California now.
This is like the funniest thing. Remember about like 7 episodes where he was like, California is not the place for me. Everybody's, you know, a nepotism baby and nobody's kind. And I hate it there. And the smog is terrible. I need to go to Boston to go to the East Coast. And then it's like, hi, I have an opportunity to go to California. I'm going to drop everything and just hang out there all summer.
Yeah. He's, you know what? This is an opportunity. He has to go to California now. But I think this makes a lot more sense because he came back to Boston. He like did what he needed to do. And now it looks like he needs to. It's basically like an internship.
Yeah, it's a summer internship. Hopefully he doesn't get fired on the first day like the last time.
Surely. And then we are with Jack and Jen, who seemingly are back on good terms. It seems like they're
the
like,
best of terms.
We're forgetting literally everything that happened this season.
Yeah, I mean, forgiven. Jen is freezing cold again because she always is cold.
I mean, yeah, Jen just. I mean, she's been like ill most of this season, so
it makes sense. She just has a cold. So
getting off a cold, yeah.
I love this. These are two best friends, one with tiny sunglasses.
Can I also just say, because I haven't commented on it most of the season, but it's driven me crazy.
Yeah.
Jack's hair. We need to discuss this for like a hot second. It's not okay because I'm used to the days of the flip in the front. Like that was a big thing when I was in like middle school, high school.
Right.
But on the sides of Jack's head, his hair flips out like on the sides. And I'm like, bro, what is happening with your hair right now?
Yeah, it's kind of like a 4D experience.
It is. It really is. It's like, you know what? I don't want just one flip. I want all the flips.
Why just have one flip when you can have 8 flips?
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So they're discussing their summer plans and they're going to travel together. So they haven't like exactly decided on a location, but they want to have an exotic adventure.
I love this. Of course, spend your summers when you are in your late teens, early 20s, exploring the world. Yeah. Why are you going back home to Cape Side and just sitting around all summer? go to Cincinnati or wherever the heck that they were discussing to go
Cleveland,
to.
Yeah.
Cleveland.
Like, I love the reasoning for the adventure, too, is that, like, Grams has a more exciting life at 76 than we do.
Oh, I can totally relate to that. My mom at 66 is raging all the time. You know what I do? I do freaking nothing. My mom's partying every damn day.
Yeah. I loved that as the reasoning for, like, them going on this big trip. And, like, inspired. They feel like a really good duo to do this, you know, because, do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. They would have a ball. Just the biggest ball. So much fun. This is a great idea. I'm very pro this trip.
Yeah. So they're planning that. Meanwhile, Joey and Audrey are leaving the dorms. We get, like, a moment with Joey where she's, like, in the dorm room by herself, like, getting the last box. And let me tell you, this brought me back. I don't know if you noticed this. Their mattresses are like those, because they're twin beds, obviously, because it's a dorm room. But they're those floral mattresses. Yeah. This was the thing back in the day. Your mattress wasn't like plain white, gray, anything like that. It was floral.
Yeah, I don't know why everything was all floral, but I do remember that. I do. I think that... I mean, 90s baby, this is what it was. It was all about this.
So many flowers.
Yeah. I kind of like the nostalgic little looking back at the freshman dorm. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's something just so special about your first year of college, especially if you dorm, where it just gives you the warm fuzzies, because when you start out in university, everybody is looking for the same thing, and that's their people. So you really tend to glom onto it. And there's like just like a specialness to it. So for Joey to like look back at her freshman dorm and just be like, I had a very good year here and I grew and I'm going to miss this. You know, it's like so nostalgic and sad. And I like that she took the beat to look back and just take it all in.
Right. Especially because, like, we didn't have, like, a Dawson's room this season. Like, Joey's dorm was our Dawson's room.
Exactly.
So I like the moment to, like, even though, again, we're on the penultimate episode, not the finale, it does feel important to kind of reflect on that. So I agree. I liked that little moment there.
I did, too. And then most of the time, you can't get the same room. Like, typically there's freshman dorms, so you wouldn't be able to go back into that same room.
Yep.
Or the housing pool is a little different, so you don't get assigned or you don't get to select the same room. So, I mean, it's kind of a finale for their freshman dorm room.
Exactly. So I liked that moment. And then we have to go back to civilization, where everyone is like prepping meals, getting ready for this big thing. Alex comes in being a total nightmare. She's like, oh, you better hurry up. We're going backwards in time, blah, blah, blah. She really dresses down this poor guy, Trevor, where she says, what kind of an imbecile do you have to be where you imagine that by placating me, it's going to make me hate you less?
I'm so confused, because didn't he just ask a simple question? Like, oh, no, he goes, don't worry, we're going to do great. You know, that's it. And she lashes out on him. And then she looks at a fork that looked slightly dirty and then asks if the girl that was shining the silverware has allergies. And she says no. And then she says, you're fired, which I don't understand. It's like
it doesn't make any sense. Where it sounds like she's like basically accusing her of like sneezing on the silverware, which is, first of all, fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, I would hope that if the girl did sneeze on the silverware, she would at least, like, you know, clean it off.
She didn't sneeze. Okay, I'll tell you what it is. It's a watermark on the silverware that you get from putting it into the dishwasher
thing.
So that's what it is. And she's like, did you sneeze? Or like, did you have Alex? So then she fires this poor girl and she's like, I really need this job. Please don't fire me. And Pacey explains that she's a single mother of a 4-year-old and she works 3 jobs, which, by the way, I don't want to be mean or anything, but like, if she works 3 jobs, then maybe she's too tired to properly clean the silverware.
See, I think it's one of those things where, like, Pacey has a bleeding heart and he's like, we can't fire her because of her personal situation. I would normally say, like, if she really is that bad of an employee, like, yeah, fire her regardless of, like, what her home situation is. But in this situation, it really feels like you're right. It is just a watermark. And, like, you can't just fire this girl because a fork is dirty. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Wait, is that a claim for a wrongful termination lawsuit?
I mean, I certainly think so. But I feel like this girl doesn't have the money to afford a lawyer for that.
Absolutely not. She works three jobs.
Yeah.
So, basically, Pacey says, if you fire this girl, it is irredeemable.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, people will not like you, people will revolt, will start a revolution, basically.
And she goes, sorry, really hope that you find another job, but you don't have a job here anymore.
Yeah, fucking wench. Back in lovely Cape Side, Dawson is sanding a boat. Which makes no sense.
Okay, so whose boat is this? Why is he sanding it? Like, where did this thing come from? Like, his motorboat's not made of wood.
And it doesn't make sense because it's like, it looks painted just fine. Like, why does it need to be sanded?
Just busy work.
It really was like, they're like, oh, Dawson, you can't just stand next to this boat. Here, take a piece of sandpaper and a towel.
And just work. I love the directions that directors give actors to make themselves look busy, especially with Dawson's Creek, because it's always nonsense. Like the tomato cutting where you have to, Pacey, please cut 500 tomatoes in slices and then put them on a sheet rack.
Yeah.
For what?
We don't know. We'll never know.
We'll never know.
Dawson, sand this boat for reasons we'll never know.
Sand this boat. It's not like the Learys have big money and they would just hire somebody to fix their boat if there was a boat problem.
Yeah. Okay. And then we get something. I have said since the beginning of the introduction to Audrey that essentially you and Audrey are the same human being. We've never seen you in the same room at the same time. I've never... ever been more convinced that you are the same people than when Audrey says, listen, where is it? Where's the room? The scene for so many long nights of teen romance and angst. Mm-hmm. And Dawson gives her instructions and she just lets herself into the house and is like, I'm going to check this place out. This is a you thing to do.
To be honest, if I heard so much about a room, I would love to check it out. Yeah. I am all about seeing the shit in person and I would be poking around that room all the time.
Inside drawers, in medicine cabinets, seeing what the fuck is up. That's what you would be doing.
Well, yes, but I really want the full tour of the house. But I guess the main attraction is the bedroom.
And she's gonna start there and she's like, listen, you two sort out whatever the fuck feelings you have. I'm busy.
Sure, I don't have time for this. I just feel bad that she has to go through the front door and not through the ladder.
I know. She didn't even get the full experience of the ladder.
No, I need the full experience.
Sarah's like, I'm climbing my ass up a ladder. Where is it? I'll lean it up against the house.
I really don't like stairs without backs.
Oh, you mean like, oh, yeah. When I was a kid, I was always afraid that I was going to stuff my foot through one and then fall through it. I mean, now no chance of that happening. But like when I was a kid, I really thought it was going to happen.
Yeah, I have it's kind of one of my phobias.
Really? Will you stairs not go without upstairs backs. Without backs?
I will go, but I feel very uneasy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So Dawson is about to tell Joey about the internship, but first Joey asks for a favor. She wants him to basically babysit Audrey.
Can you babysit Audrey, a full-ass grown adult who could totally take care of herself and just like hang out on the creek, but can you babysit her all day?
Yeah. Audrey is fine. She'll find things to do. Like, she is resourceful.
Yeah.
And Dawson and Audrey have hung out before.
I know. That's what I was just about to say. They're friends. So it's not like a favor. It's just like, yo, like, hang out with Audrey while I go visit my dad. So, yeah, she's going to go visit her dad because ever since she got mugged, where she had an entire conversation with, like, a father who deals drugs and whatever, she wants to have a talk with him. So... I was very excited about this. I was like, oh, we're going to see Mr. Potter. Perfect. Stupendous. Love it.
Yes. So she's like, okay, you babysit Audrey. I'm going to go talk to my dad. He offers to go, but she's like, no, I need to do this alone. And then we're back with Grams. We finally see Grams. I feel like largely she's been absent from this season, really only just mentioned. And Jen and Jack are breaking the news to Grams that they're gonna go on this big ass trip. They said they've been at the library for 4 hours working on the internet, planning a trip.
Yeah, we are hanging out on the net trying to plan our trip. I am impressed that they booked tickets, because I don't know. I guess, like, I don't know when the start of when can I go to Travelocity.com or United.com and book a ticket. But they did do it. They figured it out. Somebody has a credit card. I don't know which out of the two of them has.
One of them must. It's probably Jack.
Yeah, Jack probably has really good credit.
Yeah, and I do love they're going having a really big adventure, like Indiana Jones or Jeff Probst.
Wow, look at that. Survivor. Reference. Yeah, so this was what, like 2001, 2002, right? Perfect. In the beginning of Survivor.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we got a Survivor reference.
Yeah.
Pretty funny. Pretty funny.
And they're going to Costa Rica, baby.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
I do love how excited they are. Their energy was really magnetic.
Yeah, they're like, don't kill my buzz. And Graham says, oh, your buzz may be doomed. It turns out fucking Jen's parents, they purchased a house in East Hampton. It's on a beach where you used to spend summers when you were a kid, and they want you to spend the summer with them. How the fuck does this make any sense? They go from, like, not even answering Jen's phone calls to being like, yeah, you know what, daughter we don't talk to, come live with us for 2 months.
Well, obviously they're feeling guilty, right? Or there's a layer of expectation of, we bought this house, we used to spend family time with them. You know, is it weird if we don't invite her? Because
I don't know. In my opinion, if they're really feeling that guilty, I'm Jen and I'm being like, oh, but maybe you should just pay for my trip to Costa Rica instead.
One plus one doesn't equal two there, Jeff.
If you're feeling that guilty.
Yeah, I do like how Jen is feeling, like, weird about this, you know? I think that she sees that it's not, it just doesn't sit right with her that on, you know, on command, like she is one of their hired help, that they can just demand that she comes spend the summer
she's
with
getting
her.
Summoned, yeah. And yeah, she, like, her face really does fall because, like, she's about to have this really fun adventure and suddenly she's having to deal with parents and parental drama and all the stuff she doesn't want to be dealing with.
No.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So it's time for the investment lunch, and it's, I don't know, all these, like, fancy looking suit people ready to eat their dinner. And Alex is putting on the show. She is acting like she is put together and knowledgeable and, you know, a grand old boss. And then she is like, okay, let the culinary adventure begin. If they don't come out with the food. And then she snaps at them. Do not snap at me, you bitch. And then she does the, like, clap thing.
Yeah.
Like they are hired help and they don't come out again. So then she's like, oh, excuse me. And then she goes into the kitchen and you can see her horns growing out of her head with anger. And everybody is just lollygagging. Nobody is cooking. And she demands, what's going on? Where's the food? Where's Pacey? Pacey has brought the food to the local homeless shelter, and they are revolting.
Yes. She and I love Alex calling Pacey a slimy little cockroach.
Cockroach.
And everyone is just like hanging around in the back of the kitchen. And Pacey says, "You are witnessing a coup d'etat."
A coup d'etat. So Pacey comes up with a bunch of pizzas because I do like how he's thinking, okay, these people are going to be really hungry. They are thinking that they're going to have lunch. So I am going to feed them. At the bare minimum.
Right. But like he gives them pizzas. And then when he goes to read his little like letter that they've written, he drops all the pizzas on the ground, like from like 6 feet up, just bloop on the ground. And I'm like, all those pizzas are hitting the roofs of the boxes.
Oh,
and
yeah. The cheese is getting smooshed. Sticking on top.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still pizza plus bread plus sauce.
Yeah, I guess it's just like all about the presentation, you know.
Exactly. He says this is a result, like a revolt. Alex is manipulative and selfish and terrible, and hiring her was a huge lapse of judgment. She is incompetent, and
I love him calling her vindictive and cruel.
Very vindictive. Yeah. A sexual assaulter. How about that?
Yeah.
A HR nightmare, perhaps.
Yeah. I would say. Alex tries to like deny this, but it's kind of pointless because she's like, oh, he's like delusional. He's obsessed with me. But it's just like, okay, obviously the staff is going to be backing him up and they all come out. And Trevor, who she called an imbecile earlier, is like, actually the entire staff feels this way.
Yeah, we all feel this way. And she goes, "You're fired." And he's like, "No shit, Sherlock."
Yeah, he says, "Reap the whirlwind, babe."
Sure. Kay. Oh, and then he gives the rest of the staff a box of pizza. Excuse me, there's like 30 people there. They can't share one pizza.
Yeah, unless think that the staff should have gotten at least two or three boxes.
Unless it's, you know, when you're in preschool or elementary school, they cut the pizzas in like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Unless it's that and everybody gets a tiny slice.
No, but they really deserve a full ass meal.
I know. That's what I'm saying. But they have to share one pizza.
Yep. So this is very funny. And then we're at jail.
We're at jail.
This fucking scene. Like, I just, what are we doing? It's fine.
What do you mean?
I'll tell you why in a second.
Excuse me, jailer. I want one ticket for admission to see my father.
Mike Potter. And I love, without looking at the computer, without looking at any files at all, this guard immediately was like, oh, he was released 4 months ago.
What is this?
Exactly, like, 4 months ago. Exactly. I know him very well.
To the day. Yeah. What is this? Is there like 15 prisoners in this jail? How does he know every single person?
And he was like, and not only does he know he was released exactly 4 months ago, he knows that he was released for good behavior.
Good behavior. And he knows that he's at the diamond, the five and dime or whatever.
Yeah.
It's called.
Well, okay. So then, because then Joey's upset because the family wasn't notified.
Of course.
Like,
This is upsetting. I feel bad for Joey here.
But at the same time, like, it does make sense that, like, no, it's the inmate's choice whether or not they want the family to be notified.
That tracks.
And I love how the guard's like, listen, he seems like a decent guy. I know everything about him. I know he's paroled. I know why he was paroled. And not only do I know that, but we're obviously BFFs because I know he works at the Five and Dime.
Yeah. Well, maybe they were BFFs. What happens if they were prison lovers?
Ooh, I like that storyline.
Yes.
But the other thing is, and like, this guy could get in massive trouble. What if, okay, let me paint you an alternative storyline.
Yeah.
Joey is a spy coming to kill Mr. Pot .er. And this man, this guard, just revealed where she could find him.
Yeah, but excuse me, Jess, you don't see the family resemblance?
No.
It's clearly the daughter of Mr. Pot .er. No request of ID taken.
That's what I'm saying, Sarah. Like, he knows everything and doesn't ask Joey anything.
So hold on. So as a security guard, tell me what like your number one priority is of your job.
I mean, keep everybody safe and secure.
Okay, exactly. Security.
Security. Maybe ask her for at least some ID.
Yeah, you would think. I mean, he's not that great.
And her last name is Potter. At least that would give him some like type of like, okay, I'm allowed to tell her this information.
Right, but he's ridiculous. Very focused on his pen writing. What kind of notes is he taking? He's like, probably just doodling. Joey. Yeah,
5'11", brunette.
and then you like look at the picture and it's just like a stick figure. He's been like working really hard at his job. He's like, I'm
gonna be an artist.
Oh, wait a minute, you're an artist. I'm an artist.
And then they bond. And then she brings him to the Five and Dime. Where him and Mr. Pot dot dot get engaged, and now she has a stepdad who's an artist.
Oh my gosh! Wait, so it's a proposal at the Five and Dime?
Of course.
Oh, so romantic.
Yeah, we've really nailed this. See, this episode was missing so much.
This is actually the true story of what happened. Yeah. This is such a serious scene. We're just fucking around.
Because this fucking show. No, Sarah, this episode is fucking like lost its goddamn mind. Yeah. We're not even to the part where I was like honestly floored. So Dawson, the roles have reversed, and Dawson is now giving Audrey a tour of Cape Side.
Love it. Yeah. Yes.
So he is telling her, and I don't know why he's doing this. It doesn't make a lot of sense considering they're broken up, but he is telling her a whole ass story about Pacey and about how there was this girl named Christy Livingston who Pacey liked, but she was 3 years older. And he said to Dawson, like, I'm going to kiss that girl. We're going to be standing in the pouring rain and I'm going to kiss her. And he tried, to kiss her, but, no, it didn't end up happening.
Great story, Dawson.
Yeah.
Great story. I mean, Audrey seems very interested in the gossip.
Yeah, because Dawson says, like, listen, he doesn't let things go. He probably hasn't let go of you. And Audrey's like, well, you just fucked me over because I was to get over him. And now I'm like, now I'm thinking about him again.
Yeah, you fucked up this whole situation. Now I want to go to Los Angeles with you.
Yeah, because he tells Audrey he's going to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And Audrey, like, flips out. She's so excited.
Very excited.
Like, this makes sense to me because Audrey and Dawson have, like, always seemed to get along very well.
Yeah.
And so now she's not going to be alone in L.A.
Yeah. She's very happy about this. He can stay with her. He can bring all of his little doodads and posters. Not a problem.
Yeah, exactly.
I hate her necklace.
Audrey's necklace?
So ugly.
Oh, it's very 90s, like it's almost like puka shells but like chonky.
It's so ugly. I don't like her outfit either. No offense, Busy Phillips.
No, she is dressed for Cape Side. She has like this like very flowy skirt.
Yeah. You know what I hate?
What?
When you jump on fine furniture and dance. What are you doing?
Jen is trying to dance out her feelings. She's listening to Bob O'Reilly by The Who, and she's like dancing, and fucking Jack comes in and interrupts her,
stops her music.
Yeah. And Jen's just like, you know what, I usually fall apart when I have to think about my parents, but I'm trying not to do that.
Yeah.
And Jack immediately, okay, one of my favorite lines of this entire episode is, I'm gonna go to the library and hop back on the net.
I'm going to hop back on the net.
Yeah.
Try to cancel our tickets because maybe we'll get a full refund.
Yeah. But
you're not getting that full refund. I don't care if you booked that same day. It's not happening.
No, not unless you bought the refundable tickets.
And do you think that they splurge for travel insurance to do so? No. Also, why does Jen only wear pajamas?
Yeah,
season?
I was going to say, I think these are the same pajamas that she had sex with Dawson in.
She hasn't taken them off.
I miss Dawson so much.
Why? Like, seriously, why can't Michelle Williams get a different outfit this season besides pajamas? Because
they hate her. That is why.
They don't even let her do her hair.
No, her hair is so tragic, Sarah.
It's so naughty looking.
And the teeny bangs are so distracting.
She's not taking care of herself.
Sarah, the bangs. Okay. This is why whenever you have a friend who's like, I'm going to cut bangs, you just, girl, you are no. You okay? Are you all right?
You don't. You
look, check. You know what? If ever one of your friends says they want to cut themselves some bangs,
themselves
physically go to their house and check in on them. Because I think they need help.
Well, I mean, it's a little different now because a lot of people have been cutting their own, long curtain bangs, but short bangs, yes.
I mean, I still think I'm against the curtain bang, but yeah. I mean, whatever.
Yeah. All right. So Jack is going to let Jen think about this. She does not want to cancel the trip. Jack thinks that she should cancel the trip and just spend time with her parents because it's their parents. And then obviously you should be spending time with your parents if they want to spend time with you. Right. So basically Jen's going to just think it out a little bit longer. And she continues to dance her little hiney off on top of the chair.
Yeah. Okay. Is this our favorite part? I want to apologize in advance. And also this podcast is rated as explicit, okay? So you shouldn't be listening in front of your children. But if you are,
an E for a reason.
If you are, I just want to forewarn you, I'm about to lose my fucking shit all over all over this entire part of the fucking episode. Pacey, in his infinite wisdom, decides he's going to wait for Alex outside of civilization after like walking out and like, you know, doing the whole like light a match and don't even look around at the explosion that happens behind you. He's like, nah, I'm going to stand out here. And why? And he says, I came back because sometimes I let things go and I just end wondering. I end up wondering about them. It occurred to me if I let this go, I'll probably end up wondering about it for the rest of my life. Why? Why do you care? Why do you care what caused Alex to be a total fucking
Exactly. I thought that he was going to come up with something like really insightful and interesting. Instead, he's just like, I want to know why you're so mean. It's like,
yeah, he says people aren't born mean. And
yes,
Alex,
they are.
Yeah, sometimes people are just fucking awful people.
Well, okay, nature versus nurture. I don't know.
No, but sometimes people why bother giving her the time of day? Like, first of all, she's never even seemed like someone who wants to tell you her life story. So right. Why are you bothering? And she says, like, what are you going to save me, PC? She says, people get exactly what they ask for. You proved that today. And they say goodbye. And Pacey is a fucking idiot. And his car won't start.
Okay, hold on. What is the percentage chance that somehow Alex cut the cord on his car?
Well, she's been inside the whole time.
I don't know.
You think she did it?
I mean, that's what I was thinking.
I bet she called someone and paid. I bet you she paid. Okay, here we go. She found one of what are the people called that clean up after the people at a restaurant after they eat?
Bus boys.
She finds the cheapest paid busboy. And she's like, I will give you $20 to go remove something from PC's car. Yeah, whatever will stop it from running.
I don't know what the spark plug does, but it seems important.
The name sounds important.
It's the most important.
Oh, what about the catalytic converter? Because things get stolen out of cars all the time, and I know it affects. Although I don't know if old cars have a catalytic converter. You're welcome for car talk. This is car talk. This is the car hour. Just like sports, we're
experts. How many car parts can you name? Engine,
the engine, the catalytic converter, the spark plug. We got three. The brakes,
the steering wheel,
rotors,
Shifter. Shifter.
Oh, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Have you ever, okay, this is something that came up like a few months ago. Have you ever heard of a Prindle?
No.
Apparently, like, this is one of my coworkers, like, she was like, oh, do you drive an automatic or do you drive a manual? Which you know the difference between that.
Yes.
Like, yeah, one is stick shift, one is not. And they're like, I don't drive either. I drive a Prindle. Now, Prindle is if you look down when you're driving, park, reverse, neutral, drive.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Now, I will say, I have a Prindle, but I also have an S, which I found out stands for sport. So
okay, so then what does sport mode do?
I don't know. Okay. I've never tried it. I don't know why I even have it. I drive a Honda CR-V. It doesn't make any sense to have a sport option.
Yeah.
But definitely Alex did something to PC's car to make it not start. And yeah. So in her infinite wisdom, she offers him a ride. He says, I'd rather wait for the prison transfer bus. And she's like, I know you don't have a cell phone. Come on. Why does PC get in the car with her?
Why? Yeah, exactly. Terrible idea. He couldn't find a way home.
This is insane. Like, okay, you're in Boston. I know you're afraid because Pace or Joey just got mugged.
But you're not getting mugged.
There's has to be public transit. You're literally right outside the restaurant which you work at. You can't just go in and use their phone.
Also, he fixed a freaking boat. Don't you think that he can? And he fixed his sister's car. He can figure out what's wrong with this car.
Anything except for taking a ride with this wench.
Yeah, he can fix the Sporkle in no time.
A Sporkle in no time. Exactly. So he gets in. And then we are back at the Potter B&B. We see Bessie for the first time in like a fucking century.
Hey, Bessie. How you doing, girly?
Bessie
apparently does not give a fuck that she doesn't know where her dad is.
I was so annoyed with Bessie because she's like, he has his reasons.
I'm very convinced that like Bessie's just a contrarian because no matter what Joey feels, she's always like, Joey, you're just acting out. No matter what, like no matter how justified Joey is and correct in feeling what she feels, Bessie's always like, you're wrong. Actually.
It's really annoying because I feel like if I'm Joey's friend, if I'm Joey's sister, if I'm related to Mr. Potter, I'm like, this fucking sucks. Like, yeah, this is brutal. Like, your feelings are valid. And
unless
instead,
Bessie already knew and she's known for 4 months and she just like doesn't give a fuck.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, maybe she knows about the love affair between Mr. Pot .. and the guard.
Wait, do you think that she knows about the Five and Dime?
She probably shops there every week.
She found her father at the Five and Dime.
Yeah.
What is at the Five and Dime?
I thought it was like a Five Below, like where it's like dollar store. It's like a dollar type store, yeah, low budget store. Maybe have you been to a Five Below before?
Oh yeah, of course I have.
Yeah, okay. Just checking.
I'm sorry. Have you?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you for asking. Which can you rank if you had to rank? Five Below, Dollar Tree. And Dollar General, how are you ranking them?
I really don't care to.
Oh my God, what? Okay, when I was a kid, it was always very exciting to go to the dollar store. My mom loved the dollar store, and it was exciting because we usually got to pick out a few things because they were so cheap.
Yeah.
Okay, you don't seem enthused.
I am. I go to the Dollar General all the time to get my my detergent because it's like a big gallon thing of it for $9, but there's no dollar items at the dollar store anymore.
Well, that is why the Dollar General is a shifty bitch, because they lie.
They're all that way. They're like,
no, the Dollar Tree is truly a dollar. Five and Below.
But they're not. There's still items that are like $20 when you go anymore. It's a lie these days.
It's all marketing ploy. So then Audrey hops in and she's like, oh, your sister's probably right. Your dad's just afraid of hurting you guys. And Joey's like, okay, but what if he hates me because I'm the one who sent him to jail?
Valid concern.
Yeah. But I do like Audrey saying he's probably just ashamed to face you.
I agree, but yeah. I acknowledge and I validate Joey's concerns. And I think that she's not thinking illogically, and I would think the same way.
Yeah. And Audrey is being like super kind. She's like, listen, it's your call if you want him back in your life or not. And Joey's like, oh, I'm so happy you're here. I'm so sorry I like left you with Dawson. How was it? And Audrey's like, the boys, the best. That boy is a gem. This is a Sarah-ism.
I say gem all the time.
This is fucking insanity. I really do. Wait, seriously, someone needs to check if you two are the same person. So I'm starting to get worried.
I don't think we are.
Yeah, you are.
I don't know. We'll see. Only time will tell.
And Audrey says, oh, Dawson would do anything for you. And Joey's like, yeah, the last time I went to visit my dad in jail, he came with me. He knew I wanted him to be there without me having to ask, but it feels like it was so long ago. And Audrey's like, girl, you're a fucking idiot. He literally just drove from New York to Florida to see you.
Can you help me remember if, so is it that Joey didn't know that he showed up in Florida?
Joey had no idea.
She didn't know that he was in Florida.
No. Because he didn't see her.
Like, hey, did you see Dawson over there?
Apparently not. I don't know how this is the first time Audrey is telling Joey.
Because Audrey ran into Dawson and she was like, oh my God, Dawson Leary, right?
Yeah, and I don't understand. Well, no, wait.
Or am I just making that up too?
No, Pacey is the one who saw Dawson, and Pacey must have told Audrey. But this is why I'm shocked that then, because I feel like by friend code, Audrey would tell Joey.
You would think, but... I don't know. But also, she was kind of in her love nest with Charlie at the time.
No, yeah, so, for sure she was.
So maybe she wasn't thinking about it.
So, but I do love Audrey. Oh, can my mouth get any bigger?
Mm-hmm. Go talk to Dawson when you get a chance. He has stuff to tell you.
Yeah. And then we're getting into it. We're getting into this fucking scene.
Okay, so we're in the Porsche.
We're in the Porsche. The roads are wet. And Pacey asks what Alex is going to do next. She's like, well, I have to get a job, but not in food service because quotes like complete incompetence follow you around in the business. She's like, oh, I could probably be a fry girl. And I do love Pacey being like, I'm not going to feel sorry for you. You're a wench.
She really goes on this like whole diatribe about a bunch of nothing in her future. She's going to be homeless with a lot of cats, blah, blah, blah. I don't fucking care. This is on you. Don't be a freaking evil bitch.
Exactly.
So the more she talks about this, the more erratic she gets and the faster she goes in this car on the wet streets. And Pacey's getting more and more nervous. He's watching the speedometer and he's starting to get very nervous, and he kind of asks her to slow down. And then she gets that look in her eye where she's like pretty much murderous.
Yeah, she's going 80 miles an hour. They like come upon a car, which she decides she's just going to pass and like basically do like a game of chicken with the car coming the opposite direction.
Yeah.
And this is when Pacey puts his seatbelt on. Not before, but now. And I was like, and this is going to come into play. And this is important to note because, first of all, he wasn't previously wearing a seatbelt, which I know things were different in the 90s and like people didn't always wear seatbelts.
I don't know how you don't wear a seatbelt after Princess Diana in 1997. I feel like that should have changed everybody's life.
I mean, for sure. And also, you're in a car with a woman that you just got fired. Maybe be a little cautious around her. Mm-hmm. But so anyway, so he puts on a seatbelt. She's continuously speeding up. She's passing these cars. She's driving like really erratically. Pacey's trying to talk her down a little bit, saying like, your life isn't over. And she's like, no, but it is over. And you know what? I've never felt more alive in my entire life. And it's like, what are we doing here?
He starts becoming a evil villain.
Is this a Marvel movie? Did I miss the moment?
Bond villain, I think. She's okay. Like, I'm going to steal you in my rental porch. Yeah. And we're going to take a dangerous drive and I'm going to murder you.
Yeah.
And myself.
I feel liberated. This is so stupid.
We're going to waste all the gas.
Yeah. And so he's like, this isn't funny. This isn't cute. And she says, I'm reminded of what my Uncle Mort used to say. You never know what you're capable of until you're ready to push the limits. Do you think it can make a sharp turn at 70 miles an hour? I haven't the foggiest idea. And this is when she just decides to turn a corner, like going super, super fast. And this is so ridiculous. Pacey is begging her to stop. And she's like, I thought you were shockproof. And okay, and this is we get to this point, and this is
where we get really off the rails.
We were already like in a point of like, what the fuck is happening? Yeah. And it gets worse. It gets worse.
You know how the whole thing like fight or flight.
Yeah.
In reality, it's fight, flight, or fuck. Seductively make out with your
captor.
Crazy boss. Yeah, your captor.
Yeah, yeah. So Pacey is just like, oh, never mind. Why am I so upset? I just got fired. I just lost my girlfriend. I have no place to live. Maybe you're on to something. Maybe my life is over too.
I'm going to give you a roadhead.
Yeah, so he un- buckles his seatbelt as this woman is going 80 miles an hour.
The better to kiss your neck with, my dear.
Yeah, he kisses her neck as she, and so she can't see. And so she's like swerving. She barely misses a car that's like pulling out of a driveway. They eventually come to a stop. And if I'm PC, first of all, I don't know why he unbuckled his seatbelt and started kissing her neck, but like, okay, whatever. Let's just pretend that feels logical. He, as soon as the car stops, I get out of that car and I fucking run.
You would think. Also, did you see both of her like little chunky sneakers hitting the brake?
Yeah.
2 feet on the brake. Why do you need 2 feet on the brake?
It's not going to push it any harder, lady.
No. So then they're doing donuts and like, it's like, oh my gosh. Ah. So then eventually we stop. He gets out of the car, opens up her door.
Such a gentleman.
Thank you for almost murdering me. I'm going to open my door for your door for you. And then he goes, sits on the curb, and then she goes after him and sits on the curb next to him.
We're gonna have a brief intermission to talk about Dawson and Joey.
He's
but
not like you're a fucking crazy bitch. He's just like, hey, do you want to sit on the curb with me in front of this like local residence?
Yeah, let's like break this down, right? Pacey gets like terrible wench fired. Pacey's car doesn't start, decides to take ride from Terrible Winch. Terrible Winch decides to drive 80 miles an hour. Pacey doesn't have a seatbelt on, puts a seatbelt on only to take it off to kiss her neck and further distract her from driving 80 miles an hour down a residential area, nearly killing them both.
The only thing that stops the car.
Yeah, fucking insane.
Yeah.
So Joey is in Dawson's bedroom, back to old times.
Yeah, grid times. So she's there to get the admission that Dawson is still in love with her, and instead what she gets is, I'm going to go to California, because these two can never get on the same page.
This is absolutely ridiculous. Joey's like, Audrey said you had something to talk to me about. He's like, oh yeah, it's a great thing. And she's like, no, I wanna hear it. So yeah, he's gonna have to go to LA, and she is just like, oh, I thought you were going to tell me you came to Florida and love me, but like, all right, whatever.
This is not really what I wanted to hear, but okay.
Yeah.
And then she's kind of just like gobsmacked, and she's like, oh, this is great. I'm just like, there's no words for me to say. I'm just going to, I'm just overwhelmed.
Yeah. It's just like, and I don't, again, I feel like we've heard from enough people at this point where like, the show writers wanted the audience to be very pro Dawson Joey, but like literally everyone we've talked to who watched the show when it was on in real time were like, no, I was over it by this point.
Well, the thing is that I really do think that there's something to, oh, they never really hit it off. Like
they never found the right time, basically.
Exactly. Like I do think that there's something there. But also, it's like they could just never get on the same page.
Yeah.
It's sad. Yeah.
It's really tough. And it's because they dated for like 3 months. And then it's always been this like, will they, won't they, never the right time type of situation for the two of them.
Yeah.
And now again, this is happening where he's about to go to L.A. Joey can't possibly be like, hey, but I know you came to Florida and I was too busy like fucking around with Charlie to pay attention to you. But like, do you want to talk about that now? She can't possibly do that now. And Dawson says like, you're the person I wanted to share this with like more than anyone else in
except
the,
I
in
told
the world.
Audrey before you.
except I told your BFF before you, but you know, forget about that,
don't worry about that.
Back to the chaos. Alex and Pacey are sitting on the curb like inches away from each other, and Alex says, well, clearly I've got problems. Understatement of the century. Yeah, she's like, I could have killed who was ever in that car. And it's like, yeah, bitch.
Including me.
And you. And
my life could have ended in a second. It would have changed forever.
And Alex says, you saved my life. How?
By stopping the car and making
by kissing
out with
my neck.
Yeah,
so apparently.
I wouldn't, I don't know.
And this doesn't make any sense. She's like sobbing at this point. She says, I don't know why I am the way I am. Why are you so good? And he says, you can't feel like go your whole life feeling sorry for yourself. It's never too late to try to make things right. And again, we find out that the Porsche is a rental.
The Porsche is a rental.
Yeah.
Oh, this shocking is such pertinent information.
Yeah. So she's like, you know what the saddest thing is? I really do like you. And he hugs her after all of this.
Yeah. And the nook went into she let him go in his nook.
He let her enter his nook.
Yeah.
Which is like
a sacred place.
I was literally about to say those exact same words. The nook is a sacred place. You don't just invite anybody into your nook. For those who are unfamiliar, Sarah, can you describe exactly where the nook is?
It's like the nook of your arm. It's like basically your armpit, but
it's kind of your armpit, but it's like much more like intimate than that. Because usually the move is you kind of have like your shoulder is in their armpit and your head is like on their chest.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Neither of us are big cuddlers, but we are pro nook.
Very pro nook. In fact, there is a song about it, Sarah. Are you familiar with the song?
No.
I did it all for the nookie. The nookie.
No. Yes. No, that's not what it is. Oh God. This is why we need video, because the look that I gave you, I was like,
what?
I don't know if that's
when you realized what was happening.
That was cute. Good. Well done.
Thank you. So this is just like, I just don't, because this is the last scene we're going to get from them. And I just like, I mean.
Do we care?
My real question is like, please tell me this is the end of Alex, because we still have one more episode.
Can you just look?
Can I look? I'll look.
Could just look. I need to prepare myself. We're pretty anti spoilers, but let's just look.
Yeah, let's see.
Let's just look. And who is this actress? This talented actress's name?
Oh God, I'll look that up too. I don't believe we're gonna see her again, based on what I'm seeing of the next episode.
Who is this artist?
Oh my God, Sherilyn Fenn.
Good for her. And what does she do now?
God, let's look at her. Let's look at her IMDb here.
Yeah.
Sherilyn Fenn, girl, what's you up to?
Nothing. Last job was Dawson's Creek, right?
No. I mean, I recognize her. She's been in some stuff. Let's see. I'm going to her IMDb to see her most recent. Oh yeah, she's definitely still working. She's been in a lot of stuff. She's one of those like, oh, she's been in everything.
SVU, Grey's Anatomy.
Exactly. She's been in Shameless.
Oh.
She's been Magic City, In Plain Sight, House, Psych. All of these make sense.
Right. Yeah.
She was, most notably for me, I recognized her from Gilmore Girls. But you haven't seen Gilmore Girls, so you would. She was in like 9 episodes of Gilmore Girls. So
was she evil in Gilmore Girls?
No.
Oh, nope. Okay.
So, but yeah, Alex is, I'm going to double check. Let's see. Okay. Alex is no more. We won't see any more of Alex.
Bye, bitch. See you never. Don't care about you, you stupid wench.
What, this storyline just didn't work for us, right?
No, of course not. Yeah. It trashed him and Audrey. It ruined his character. You know, we know Pacey is somebody that really cares about others and would never cheat. And I don't know. It was stupid. We didn't like it. And I miss Danny. I liked Danny Brecker. That kind of worked for me.
I mean, Danny didn't even really work for me, but like when we're comparing it to Alex, then yeah.
I liked having a mentor, father, older brother figure for Pacey. That's
definitely
what I liked.
Where's Dougie? Where the fuck is Dougie?
Oh yeah. Where is Doug? Have we seen him this season?
I think we saw him like the first episode and that was it.
Yeah.
Remember, all right. He talks to Pacey about getting a job at Civilization. Oh,
which
was 17 years ago.
Oh, wait. Danny Brecker was Doug's friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, or no. So actually, I don't think so. I think that he did like community service. I think that was not a friend.
They knew each other. They knew each other.
Okay. We have the best friends. Jen is still in her fucking pajamas, and basically Jen is like, I really don't want to go hang out with my parents, and Jack is like, you really should go hang out with your parents. And then Grams comes around and they're like, Jack is like, Grams, aren't I right? Like, shouldn't she go hang out with her parents?
Why is Jack doing this? I feel like Jack should be a better... He's not being a very supportive friend. He is, like, really criticizing Jen's decision. And I feel like him, of all people, who, like, he hasn't always had the best relationship with his parents. Yeah. To, like, be like, oh, no, you should go hang out with them and I'm judging you because you're making the wrong decision. I loved Grams in this scene. Like, 10 out of 10. She comes in and she says, because Jack asks what Grams thinks. And Graham says, well, your parents have not been very generous with you. In fact, they've been cheap. I don't think this invitation absolves them of that. And Jack interrupts and she's like, bitch, I'm not finished.
I'm not done. The words out of my mouth are still leaving. Yeah. Listen to me.
Yeah. She says the relationship between Jen and her parents is much more complicated than we could even imagine. It may be unsalvageable. I admire your instincts, Jack, but there's only one person who knows what's worthwhile here and what's not. And if your parents have truly found a way to love you, this won't be their last opportunity to prove it. And I, gosh, 10 out of 10 for Grams. Claps. Amazing job, Grams. I love this. I think this is perfect. Because why is it on Jen to suddenly change all of her summer plans to appease these parents who are just now showing up for her and just now making an effort when Jen has reached out times before and it hasn't worked out? I love that Grams is like, listen, Jack, you and I can speculate. And like, obviously Grams, that's like her kid, right? That's her kid and her grandchild. Like, she knows.
Yep.
But I love that Grams was like, Jen is the only one who can truly make this decision. And if she's decided to not go with her parents this summer, we should respect that decision. And also, I loved at the very end her saying like, listen, if they truly love you and they want to show that, they're not going to give up just because you turned down one invitation.
Yeah.
I love that.
Protect your peace.
I think the definition
of protecting your peace.
Yeah. And I think, Sarah, like a lot of times, I think especially in 90s content, more so than modern day, it's all about like family, right? Like your blood means everything. Whereas I think in the modern day, it's way more about found family than it is about family. Correct. Family.
Right.
And I feel like it's lovely that in this show that Grams is kind of going against that and saying like, it's not always about your family. Cause sometimes you're better off without, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I really love the entire timeline of Grams and Jen's relationship throughout the show and how much both characters have evolved and how much Jen has taught Grams. It's really special. And even Jack too. I love the Jack and Grams relationship and how much Jack has opened up Grams's eyes. It's really beautiful and really special. And I just think back to the first season where, we were like, oh, freaking Grams, like making really nasty comments all the time. It's just like really special to see it evolve.
Yeah. And I love how like she doesn't judge Jen as much as she used to.
Nope.
She is very much like they've worked out a way to respect each other's decisions and like respect where each other are coming from. Like, when is the last time that Jen has pressured, when is the last time Grams has pressured Jen with like religious stuff? Like, it's been so long. You know what I mean?
Truly.
So that I very much appreciate.
Yeah, exactly. I think that they both really helped each other grow in that regard. Mm-hmm. And I love that.
And I love their little cutesy little trifecta hug at the end.
Yeah, they really are a family. It really is a work of art.
I love that. Like, even though Jack and Jen had some issues with like all the fraternity stuff earlier this season,
it never affected Jack's relationship with Grams.
No. And I really like how at the end of the season we're now getting this like cute hug moment where they're a threesome again. That sounds weird. They're trifecta again, hugging, which I really liked. Which this to me felt like finale vibes. Like the Jack and Grams and Jen stuff felt finale vibes to me.
Yeah. Is Cliff like on the top of the stairs listening in? Like,
oh, Cliff is recovering with a cigarette in bed. Yeah.
He's like, when can I get in on some of this action? Yeah. He's like, I want a hug.
Yeah. Cliff. Dawson is at the cemetery and he's sitting in front of his father's tombstone and he's having a conversation with his dad. I was pro this conversation where he's like, how's it going? I've been really busy. The first thing he reveals to his dad is, hey, I lost my virginity, dad.
Well, didn't he say that was like the most important thing that he wanted to share with his dad? What a fucking creep.
I know. He's like, it was Jen. After all that, it was Jen. It's like, shocking. I don't know. Is this weird to you? I mean, my parents are alive and I wasn't like, yeah. Hey, guess what, fam? No longer a virgin. Hymen is removed.
No, but I think that some people are.
It depends on
how close you are with your family. But also, you're a never nude, so.
I am indeed a never nude.
You're never
I
just, nude.
Like, I don't want to tell my parents that I fucked. That's so weird to me.
But you don't even want to tell me. Like,
I don't want to tell you I fucked.
Why can't you just be loosey-goosey? Stop being such a never nude. You're so embarrassed. You're turning red.
It's just so funny to me that, like, don't you find this strange? It's different to me. There's a big difference to not get your friends about your sex life.
No, I think that it tracks that Dawson would tell his dad.
But it's also the first thing he doesn't even say, like, hey, dad, I'm going to Hollywood for the summer. He's like, hey, dad, I banged Jen.
He wants to tell his dad his big moments in his life. I mean, do I understand it? Have I done it? Like, told my parents about that? No. But I do think that it tracks for Dawson and Mitch. Okay.
So then he does say, we got an agent. We're going to Hollywood. I'm finally getting to use that plane ticket you bought me. I guess yeah. There's some symmetry to that, which yeah. I also really like.
Yeah, that was nice.
But he does say, now I want to talk to you about Joey. Is it still okay after everything that's happened to believe that something perfect is possible? I want to be with her. I love her. What do we think?
I think that Dawson really does think that he loves Joey. And mm-hmm. I think that it fits into his Hollywood narrative of she's the girl. But I still think that Dawson is in love with the thought of Joey and the narrative story of how, quote unquote, romantic it is. But I don't think that he really, really loves Joey for Joey.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, I think you're right in terms of like the story of it all. I think it's just like bullshit to me. Like, poor Jen. I can't stop thinking about that part of it, of like Jen just getting totally screwed over in all seasons, but a lot in this season as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see what happens. There's still one more episode to see what happens with Dawson and Joey. But before we end the episode, Joey is at the Five and Dime.
The Five and Dime, but we don't even get to go inside. We don't even know what sales there are.
No, because she has that like the Worthington Literary Review with her. And she's gonna head inside. And yeah, we don't even get to see any of the sales at the Five and Dime. Hopefully next episode we'll get to see.
I mean, if we're lucky, it opens up on the Five and Dime.
I hope so. Yeah. Do you want to hear what next episode is titled?
Absolutely, I do.
Swan Song.
Oh, because it's the last episode of the season. It's the swan song of the season.
Tis the swan song.
Wait, did I ever talk to you about how the Queen of England used to own every swan in England?
No. Yeah. I didn't know this.
Yeah, what? So like if you killed a swan, you could get like arrested.
What? Because it's
the queen's swans.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I guess Charles now owns all the swans.
I mean, he must. He inherited them.
Yeah.
Inherited swans. Do you want to hear some feedback from Joy?
Of course.
She said, this episode is not one of my favorites, but I have a lot more to say than I originally thought. Okay. So she says, this episode answers the question that, yes, Pacey is capable of anything. Not only does it show he's quite good at his job, but it shows that the Pacey we know and love is still there. He's human and he makes mistakes, but if he was just perfect all the time, he wouldn't be as beloved a character from the show as he is. She says, it's fascinating that his boss blows up his life in a manipulative and shitty way and he doesn't quit. We know he really needs this job, but the second she shitties to his coworkers and especially a single mother, he can't stand the injustice and all bets are off.
Yeah.
She's, I won't touch the car scene. I don't understand it. But even after all of that, Pacey still thinks there's hope for people like Alex to be good and make things right. Like, okay, yeah, Joy, that, okay, I love, Joy, you're being very kind with your reading of this episode, because that car scene makes no fucking sense. I don't care who's in the car. I don't care if it's Dawson or anybody else, Jack, all of them. Everyone should be leaving the car.
I feel like Jack would just open up the car and then...
Tuck and roll.
I can see that. Dawson would... I think that Dawson would be more like Pacey, where he's trying to talk her out of it. I think that he would monologue.
But oh, also, my God.
He's, kind of remember when we were talking about if you kidnap Dawson Leary, you're like, fuck, this kid is the most annoying person.
She would crash the car on purpose just to make him stop talking. For
yeah,
sure. For
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. I don't even know that he would realize that he's getting kidnapped until like down the road.
Joy continues. Jen is back and planning a trip with Jack to good old Costa Rica. Fun. Unless, of course, her parents ruin it. Not so fun. Wilder is back, but he's just a blip, and now Joey is a published author. Do you guys think anything is going to come from her going to see her dad? Oh, interesting. Do we have any predictions for next episode? Because apparently, who knows? I'm assuming we're going to see Mr. Pata daughter.
I think that, I really do think that she's going to get some closure. I think we're going to get an understanding as to why... Obviously, he thinks that he's a piece of shit and that he ruins his kids' lives and is better that mm-hmm. he's out of their lives than in it. So I think that we're going to get a lot of that narrative.
Yeah.
But I do think that we're going to explore a little how Joey's feeling and probably some callbacks to the Mugger episode in regards to how she feels of having two parents that are not in her life, one who didn't choose to not be in her life but mm-hmm. passed away early, and the other one who is still alive but is nearly as absent as her mother, and right. how that feels being a young woman who is essentially an orphan. So I would love to explore that from Joey.
Yeah, I definitely think we'll most likely see Mr. Potter next episode. I assume we're going to get the, like, I'm so sorry, Joey, it's all my fault. Like, you know, he's out on parole for good behavior. So I don't know. I assume he's not feeling like resentful towards Joey, but I guess we'll see. And I also assume she's going to talk to him about Dawson because she always does.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Joy continues. Audrey and Dawson hanging out is always fun. And I still think they would have made a good couple.
I do think too.
About that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think that they would have been fun, but, I don't know. I think that Audrey would probably get bored of Dawson.
I agree with that. I think Dawson needs an Audrey, but Audrey would get bored by Dawson.
Yeah.
She says, Dawson and Joey are so serious and analytical, they need a more laid back and fun counterpart to balance it out. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Let's not forget the last time Joey went to see her dad, that while Dawson did not go on the, did go on the bus with her, it was Pacey who took her back and drove those 4 hours and bribed a guard so she could see him again.
I do remember that beautiful moment
at the fence. Exactly. It was Pacey, yeah. Not Dawson.
Yeah. But this show likes to rewrite history to benefit the Dawson and Joey narrative.
Yeah. She says Joey now knows that Dawson drove to Florida during spring break and wonder what's going to happen with that. And Dawson is going to LA. I'm honestly really happy for him. I do love Dawson's scene at his dad's grave. James Vanderbeek has done a phenomenal job with that storyline, but my God, I am so over Dawson and Joey. I know I'm a broken record, but it's because the show is a broken record.
Yeah.
On to the finale.
What is the percentage that Joey and Dawson are at the very least going to kiss? Because
I think very high.
99%. I'm very confident it's happening.
I definitely agree with that. It feels like the show has been leading us in that direction.
Yeah,
so I would be surprised if it doesn't happen.
It's going to be very cinematic.
It has to be. Yeah. Do you think it's going to be the end of the episode where they kiss?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. And I think that Joey is going to go to California and it's going to be like a sunset in the background and they're going to kiss and the sun is going to shine and like reflect off the camera it happens. And then it's going to like, you know how like some shows fade to black? It's going to fade to white. And that's going to be from the sun shining in. And that's how the episode is going to end.
Interesting. Fascinating. Okay. Can I get predictions from you in terms of Pacey and Audrey? Still broken up at the end of the finale?
Oh, yeah. They're done.
Okay.
They're done and it's fine. Okay. There's a fling.
It's fine. Okay. And then we'll also have to update our character rankings again, because we're going to be doing that. So obviously, so a little bit of scheduling note for the peeps. We're going to Sarah's birthday is coming up. So,
oh, it is nearly my birthday.
Don't forget to wish her happy birthday on the 9th.
In like 3 days.
Yeah. When
you're possibly listening to this. So it is my birthday. Jess and I are seeing each other next weekend. We're going to our friend's house and we're going to hang out. And so, the long and the short of it is that we're taking a week off.
We're taking a week off. I know it's a weird time, but you know what? Just look at this as a ramp up to the finale. So we'll be back in 2 weeks with coverage of the finale. And then, of course, like we always do, we're going to do a season wrap up where we go over least favorite characters, do our updated character rankings on episodes and least favorite episodes, all of those things. That'll happen in 2 weeks time. And then we'll be straight into oh my God, I can't believe it. The sixth season. The sixth and final season.
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe it?
No, I'm not ready.
I truly can't believe we're already up to, I mean, it's going to take us all the way into like September to finish. But at the same point in time, I still can't believe that we're like, it's like, we're almost there.
Yeah, I know. Makes me emotional.
Yeah.
What's the percentage that I'm going to cry in the last few episodes of Dawson's Creek on podcast?
Highly likely.
99%.
I wouldn't put it that. I was going to say like 80%.
I think I will. I nearly cry during Boy Meets World.
And I think that Dawson's Creek for you is different because this is the first time you've ever seen it. So no, actually, you know what?
I'm not saying higher. Well, no, I'm not saying while watching the episode, I'm definitely going to cry. I'm saying like on the podcast, talking about it, us ending.
Yeah.
It's so sad.
It's high up. Yeah. High percentage. But we're nearly there. We're almost done with season 5 and then on to the final season. If you want to send in feedback, we love getting feedback. Shit90spod on Twitter and Instagram, shit90spod@gmail.com, shit90spod.com. If you want to leave us a voicemail, Sarah also invented a little suggestion box on there, which we've already gotten some suggestions for bonus content to cover. A lot of people want us to cover Varsity Blues, which James Vanderbeek is in, which could be fun to do.
We'll do that.
We'll have to see. But Sarah, in the meantime, what else do you have going on? You have a new podcast coming up.
Oh my goodness gracious, guess what?
What?
On PSR, not only am I covering How I Met Your Father with Adam Humphrey, but I am very excited and happy to announce that I am covering Daisy Jones and the Six, the brand new Amazon Prime show that is based off the Taylor Jenkins Reid book, Daisy Jones and the Six, and I'm doing that with Marissa Garza, and it's going to already be out when this podcast is out, so check it out. I'm really excited to talk about it.
Have you watched any of the show yet?
Absolutely I have.
What are you feeling so far in terms of book to screen? How is it adapting?
I think it's adapting well. I think that they've been able to kind of dig in deeper, which was a criticism that I had of the book, because I felt as though essentially the book reads as a transcript of a like E! True Hollywood Story. It's all in like interview form. And my biggest critique was that I felt like I didn't get to know the characters well enough, and it felt a little removed. And the show, having the show transition, absolves my criticism of that.
I love when they do that, because I used to be, when I was a kid, I was very much that kid of like, well, the book is so much better than the movie.
Yeah.
Where like nowadays I do feel like I'm trying to look at them as more of adaptations, where like not everything necessarily is going to translate well from book to screen, and they have to make some changes. So I'm happy to hear that it seems like they've made a positive change for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm very excited. There's 3 episodes out already. It's a weird thing. It's like 3-3-2-2.
Amazon loves to do this, and it's so annoying.
I don't get it, but who am I to judge? Yeah. Just a simpleton.
Sarah, where can people find you on the social meds?
At Sarah Ferguson. You can find us at Shit 90s Pod. There is a birthday coming up. It is my birthday. Only my birthday. Nobody else's birthday.
Except my dog's birthday is 2 days later. But,
it's definitely not also Barbie's birthday. It's definitely not also Lil Bow Wow's birthday. It's definitely not also God, who's that cute girl from Pitch Perfect? Brittany Snow.
Anna Kendrick?
No, not her. She's not cute.
Oh my God. Okay.
Brittany Snow. Okay.
I feel like our friend Adam's gonna have strong disagreement on the Anna Kendrick front.
I've only heard really nasty things about her on the streets.
Oh really?
Oh yeah. She's a bitch.
Oh wow. Well, fuck her.
Allegedly.
Then. Allegedly a bitch. You can find me at the Jess Sterling. I'm mostly podcasting about Succession. Go check that out over on Pusher Recaps.
Like 30 episodes a day of Succession.
Only daily. We're ramping up to the final season of Succession. Very shortly, Yellow Jackets will be coming back, so I'll be podcasting about that as well. And then, of course, as you're already familiar with, I podcast about Community every week, and we're in season 5, and it's really, really fun. So go check out all of that stuff and more at Pusher Recaps. I think that's everything we've got. So in 2 weeks, we'll be back for the finale of season 5 of Dawson's Creek, Swan Song. I can't wait. I hope everyone has a good one. We will talk to you all then. Bye-bye. Just ask. Shit90Shows.me.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.